Well, welcome to Black History Matters 365 with your host, Joe Skate, and beautiful guest in the studio today. This is the show, Real Relationships, with Dr. T, the people's psychologist, and our very, very special guest, Ron Johnson, Director of Safety in the Mayor's Office here in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. We have been focusing on a series, and this series is the Black Male Relationship Shock. And it's been some great topics. And I think the topic today is going to be even better. These men have been putting out some really good knowledge, and I just really praise God for them and all their knowledge and their intellect. But thank you for joining the show. And we're going to jump right in with these gentlemen on this topic today, which is called, What Does It Mean to Be in a Sound Relationship with Yourself?
Woo! Watch out now.
Tell you right. That's a big one. I love this quote by Lewis Hayes, and he says, love yourself and you can heal your life. Mm-hmm. Love yourself and you can heal your life. Mm. So let's jump into this relationship with yourself, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're doing great.
Hey, I am. And I say again, if I was doing any better, I would be twins. I am what the kids say. I'm Gucci.
You're Gucci, brother.
I'm Gucci.
Go on, Gucci.
Yes, let's jump on in, guys. Go ahead and get started with this. Dr. T, you could start us off. This is your show, Real Relationships. So you kick us in and let's go.
As my brother Ron said, he said he's Spider-Man, but I'm gonna call him Spider-Man on B12.
Let's go.
That's a good vitamin. Yeah, that thing right there can handle any stress, any encounter you get to. You don't even need to use the spider webs, man. That's B12.
B12. Let's go.
Bad boy. But first, I just want to say, to kick this thought off is a great thought. But first, I want to also say to the viewing audience, you don't see Sister Joe today, but she is a Nubian queen. Ain't she, Brother Ron?
Yes. Yes, I'm telling you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you.
She's killing it today, y'all.
Amazing.
When I think about this whole topic that Ron and Brother Ron brought this up, what does it mean to be in a sound relationship with yourself? A couple of things come to mind, and maybe just kick us off in a conversation. As an athlete, it was important when I played basketball to kind of be in the zone. And to be in the zone, Brother Ron, you remember when you was in the zone on the football field? What does that mean to you when you were in the zone, if it, in relation to you being in a sound relationship with yourself on the field?
What you find when you're in that zone, it's like a basketball player. I'm likening it to that, and then get back to football. The rim seemed like it gets so big, you can do anything. Throw it like this, and it goes in. It seemed like it just can't miss. When you get in a zone, when you think about it from football, it's almost as if you cannot miss. You're not, no matter what you do, you're not guessing at it. It's happening, and you can't describe it. It's almost like you go around a corner and you see a situation and you say, I was about to go that way, but something took you another way. You be in a zone, but you know without a doubt, there's something that's guiding you through that zone that you can't describe, that's so much bigger than you. But when that happened, it's hard to explain. It's like meditating and somebody tell you, I felt like I left my body.
Yeah.
Well, you did. You had what we call a transformation. You did unattach, and you was able to look back down and say, wow. You know, when you're able to kind of get to that space of where I always say in meditation, if I can help you have no thoughts, imagine what that feels like.
Yeah.
Imagine being quiet enough, being still enough, completely consciously rested but completely conscious. Imagine what that feels like. You know, that is the thing that I find when we get in that zone and you can't explain it and you can't give it to someone. You have to experience it for yourself. That's what that zone feels like. You know, it's like, I can't give you the inks of the zone. You might get in the zone and you might feel the heat that's in the zone, but you have to, the zone's an individual thing. It's not a group thing. And then when it becomes a group thing, almost becomes like, you know, the Holy Spirit that took over to all those brothers, that when they all start speaking in another tongue, you know, that's a zone that you find yourself getting in when, you know, when the word of God kind of comes in and everybody's all on one accord and you find yourself at moving a real mountain, or you find yourself lifting a car off a loved one that the jack had fallen down on. You're not sure exactly why you was able to do that. That's a zone, but that's a zone that's undescribable. That's that zone where God takes us from time to time, but we got to be open and surrender to it. Yeah.
Man, that's powerful, man. And what came to my mind is you were talking about that, brother, and you're spot on. Is that when we take, what we want to do today is take that personal inventory. When we take this personal inventory and dive deep, that deep dive into taking a personal inventory on a sound relationship with ourselves, I would want to propose that zone exists between the ability of what skill you've got and the difficulty that you don't have. Mm-hmm. And if you can make, because if any one of those pulls you away, if you highly skilled in a thing where you have a lot of difficulty, then you tend to become, you know, to me, you tend to become more anxious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you got a situation where the difficulty overreaches the skill, you become frustrated. And if your skill supersedes the difficulty, you become bored. So we're talking about that sweet spot, that what you call that Gucci.
That's it. That's it.
How can we get in the Gucci?
You know,
situation in life.
When you think about that, so we all have been. The word said God has given us all a measure of faith. So yes. In other words, when you with the measure, you got to actually put it to work. Yeah. And then the thing that I find with what you just said is, when God has given us all gifts, we got to figure out how that gift's going to best fit what he's called us to do. So in Proverbs, it says your gifts should make room for you and put you in the company of great people. Mm-hmm. When you have those gifts and you don't use them, it's almost like the talents that Jesus gave to those brothers. And one decided that, I'm going to hide this one because I ain't trying to, you're going to be mad at me when you come back. But the truth of the matter is, when he gives you a gift, he don't want you to hide. He wants you to share that gift so he can multiply that gift. He wants you to make out, because the gift is not for you. The gift is for you to give it out. That's why it's called a gift. He says your gift should make room for you and put you in the company of great people. When he puts you in that company, what he does is he's expanding your network, because we know that your network is your net worth. When we acknowledge that and know without a doubt and we're tapped into something, all we got to do is just walk it out. God's got it. Walk it out. Watch him continue to open up spaces and places, open up doors that no one could close, open up opportunities that no one could shut. All of those things are part of the things that I believe that we as men got to recognize and then not be afraid or ashamed to walk into it.
Man, that's a good point. I heard this one guy say, sometimes with goals, I mean, say like with the Holy Spirit and God's gift in us or some value that we may have, I kind of want to make it kind of practical. I wanted to share a little bit to kick this off, and right, I want to hear some points that you've got, and Sister Joe as well. When we take this personal self-inventory, I'd like to challenge the audience to make a list. Sit down and make a list of everything that you can do. No need of spending your mind thinking about things that you can't do. We talked about that earlier today, that there's two definitions of distractions. You have things that pull you away. You got a necessary distraction, and that's something that things that you can do are things that are important to you. Those are necessary distractions. They're necessary. Mm-hmm. If they're pulling you away, there are things that you can control it, you can change it, or things that you have a value on. if you got a distraction, there ain't nothing you can do about it, and it's not very important, there ain't no need in thinking about it. So I want you to pull back a second as we look, and I know, Ryan, you're going to take us deeper, Sister Jo. Make a list of the things that are necessary in your life that you feel everything that you can do, and just make a big list. And then I want you to underline out of that list, and it could be a lot of them, things that you enjoy out of the things that you can do. And then from that, circle some favorite things about even the things that you underline, the things you enjoy. Put a circle around these things. These are your favorites. Then I want you to, and here's the key right here. Find a pattern in the favorites. See, that's where we miss it. That's when we start getting distracted. We're trying to do a multiplicity of things. But find the pattern that you see in your favorites. Find the Gucci in those patterns.
That's it.
And then from that, now you can make a to-do list. Because people, sometimes we run around and we want something and we don't have it. And we're not, because we're not working toward it. That's really like, if you have something you want, after you narrow this stuff down, if you made a list of the things that you like doing and you underline the things you enjoy out of most of the list of the things that you can do, and then you checked off your favorites by circling them. Now this to-do list, see, to have a goal and a vision without a to-do list is really like, is like lustful materialism. It's just like window shopping and no commitment to buy nothing.
Come on. Hey.
And that's what our life, we window shop. We got all these things and we want to go out. Why go out window shopping if you ain't got no goals in order to buy something? Sometimes you're going to have to cash in.
See, that's right. When you think about goals, you know, a lot of us can have goals, but do those goals have you?
Ooh.
I mean, we can have all the goals in the world, but do those goals have you? And what I mean is all those goals are part of the habits that you have, the habits and the things that you do. Because I truly believe that life is this. Discipline determines your destination, not your desires. I've said that a number of times, and I truly believe and live by it. But the discipline that I'm talking about are the habits that you have. And so we can set a whole lot of goals, but if we don't have the discipline to accomplish those goals, it's going to be just a thing that we, you know, use in our imagination. I imagine that I'm going to hit the Powerball, but I didn't buy a ticket. Well, you ain't going to hit the Powerball. But if you're disciplined, you go and get a ticket and you're in the game. You're in the game. You're disciplined enough to at least give yourself a chance, regardless of what the chance is, you give yourself a chance. And so in giving yourself a chance, I believe that that is a necessity that needs to happen, Doc, as you was just speaking of. And in doing so, what you'll find is you will start to develop the habits that will come naturally without you even thinking about it. Because, you know, most of the time, when we look at the things that we are habitual in doing, it's not like we have to think about it to do it. It just gets done. And when you have that in your sphere of discipline, you know, you can set any goals that you want to set, and unequivocally, you're going to be at the end of those goals saying, well, I got this one. I got that one. Yeah. So what I always think about when I think about goals, goals are always things that you can attain, but there's air as far as you can reach when you reach toward the sky. So I would say, allow your imagination to take you as far as you can, but try to allow the habits and the discipline to be what guides you.
And brother, I want to tag on to that. And we've got certain things that God blessed us with as inheritance. I mean, some people say genetics, but there are things that we were born in on us. And that God birthed in us, as he said to Job, when Job put it in him, Job talked about, from my mother's womb, you knew me, you knit me. And so there's things that God put in us that inherited from God, right?
Yes.
And then it's life experiences. I've read something today that says 60% of the things that God, probably from God, that we put in us, that we got in us, and life experience has another, maybe another 40%. You got 100% of that. Of the things that God put in you to do, Because if you ain't gonna be disciplined if you ain't passionate about something, and if it's not a fit between your strength and a match between your strength and your skill or what you got in you. And, and sometimes we don't take the time, man, to analyze, to go back with the Holy Spirit and to ask God. And then we don't start looking at life as the thing and the process that life brings in order to refine that call so that we can do something about that Gucci.
Yes.
A lot of us are running around Gucci and don't even know we Gooched.
No.
That ain't good English, but that's good gospel.
That's right. Come on.
And so this connection of finding this soundness, it's important, man. This is to understand the soundness, and that's what we're talking about. Understanding the sound relationship that we got with ourselves. And so what we all are talking about is how to get in tune with the sound of you.
Yeah.
How can we do that? That's so important. I wasted my life running around dancing, because if you're not, you're going to dance to somebody else's tune.
Yes. Yeah.
Or it ain't what they call you. Like Jerry Lewis.
That's right. It ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. And that's it ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to.
Lord have mercy.
We've been called a whole lot of things, but the problem is, as a youngster and through not being as skilled as we needed to be, we was answering to those things. You're dumb, you're stupid, you're ignorant, you ain't gonna never amount to anything. And those things become a part of who you believe you are. That's that, you know. So now when you have been transformed by renewing of your mind, so you now can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When now, you know, let this light that be in you, which also is in Christ, be in you. So now you can speak those things now that you know. So, and here's the thing that's so amazing. You know, in some of these movies that we see, we find that they have things in it. They may not want to call it biblical. Because of, you know, whatever. But at the same time, you know, when Superman folks saw that their island was about to be destroyed, they sent him off. But guess what they did? They put everything about who they were inside of him and sent him on off. Think about it. When God birthed us, he put everything in us about him. Think about it. Doctors are still practicing medicine.
Yep.
Practicing medicine. How can you still be practicing when you think you know? No, here's the thing. God has given us everything that we can imagine about this thing called life. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that we got to do, the word tells us to, you know, especially as a man, study to show thyself approved, a workman that can divide the word of truth. You know, when I truly believe that, you know, when you read, just like you get out there and you exercise, mm-hmm. you know, that's the muscles that you're working in your brain, and it's doing all these different things, and you're not realizing, you know, but what it is from a scientific perspective, Doc, you know, you have reconnected neural pathways that you didn't have. You have started new pathways from the neuroscience area, from the neurons that are brand new. And so you ask yourself, man, I didn't used to think like that. Well, the reason you didn't used to think like that, you didn't have those neurons firing. But we do now, because we have been studying. We know without a doubt that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And not only that, we have been walking it out. We've been acting out. We've been living it out. We've been talking it out. Mm. And therefore, it has been who we are. But as a man, the relationship with yourself, how often as a young person have you told yourself, I love you?
Yeah.
I love you, man. I love you, sis. Have you told yourself? We tell a lot of other people. So I have this little thing that I do in the morning. And I got a text from a guy this morning that just really made my day to remind me. You know, in Isaiah, God said, put me in remembrance. He ain't forgot his word, but he wants us to put me in remembrance of what my words say. Put me in remembrance of it. Now, why would he tell us to put in remembrance? Because he won't know if we know. Do you remember what you read? So hey, put him in remembrance. And therefore, the guy sent me a message this morning. He said, get up, Mr. Ron. You are an amazing man. You're going to have an amazing day. Hmm. So that's what I've been teaching those men in that recovery program that I was running as a case manager. I would tell them that each day I wake up and I look in the mirror as I'm in there brushing my teeth or what have you. I look in there like I'm looking now into this Zoom and say, you are an amazing man and you're going to have an amazing day. It's simple. It's to the point, but it's powerful.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling myself that you are amazing. And I'm, you know, every now and then I just give myself a hug and say, you are all right. Not you are all right, man. You are all right. It's going, you know, we got to keep doing that as we continue to do, to live in this thing called life. We have to tell ourselves that everything's going to be all right, no matter how bad something may be or how tough it may be that you're going through. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. But we got to tell ourselves that. And we have to make absolutely sure that we don't end up. See, a pessimistic person will see a glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, half empty. Mm-hmm. An optimistic person see a glass half full, meaning that we're going to put some more water in. It's just half full right now. We still got more to go.
Yeah.
But the pessimistic person sees like it's drying out. No, it ain't drying out. We got more water coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, I like what you're saying when you said life. I think there's two things when I talked about, we talked earlier, that thing that, that God put in us, like in Job, when you said, when you knit me in my mother's womb, before I was known in a form, you know me. Okay. I think life is filled with two things, choices, the choices we make and the circumstances we're born into. Those are two life's experiences. Our choices we make and the circumstances we're born into. But our choices are bigger contributors to life experiences than our circumstances. We are born with a set of good positions and dispositions, and our choices and circumstances shape them. So maybe why God has put this in us, he's allowed life to change the choices we make and the circumstances we encounter every day to shape, to work against. Because, see, that soundness is like a tuning fork. And if we didn't have the life experiences and the thing that shapes us on the outside and the things and the choices that we make, some of us give up because we made bad choices. Some of us give up because our circumstances, we don't feel like we deserve them. But those are opportunities to tune you in to that sound, that part of who you are. It ain't meant to give up. It's meant to identify them. And like you said, get back to the center of you. And make that soundness. Those things are supposed to be there. I mean, in life. I mean, all of us go through it. And the good things, if you shared just a while ago, and me telling people take an inventory, those things are so important. So we really give them some steps to people today in how to get back to that soundness in you, in their life. And I think that's important.
Yeah. You know, I think a week ago I said, you know, I used to repeat this as my cousin who was an alcoholic, but he would be drunk and he'd be walking around and I think he was 54 years for as long as I can remember. 54 years, boy, he was 54 years. And I used to be like, man, you older than 54. You was 54 last year, you know. But one of the things that he would say, he would always quote things that I thought was in the Bible because I didn't know the word the way I believe God has allowed me to know it now. But he would say, self-preservation is the first law in nature. And I'll never forget, I was repeating that at a meeting as I was teaching. And I said, I want you guys to know that, you know, you got to take care of yourself because self-preservation is the first law in nature. That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
So, well, when I got to look at it and study it, dig it deeper in the Bible, I found out, well, it's not in the Bible, but there's a lot of things that helps you understand that self. You got to put your mask on first in order to deny thyself to be able, all of those things. We know that. But those particular words were not. But I want to say that because we're talking about the relationships with yourself. The relationship with yourself is based on the self-preservation. It is not selfish. Self-preservation meaning that, you know, when we're on a plane, the only way that I'm going to be able to help you that's going to be sustainable, I got to put my mask on first to make sure that I can breathe enough to help more people. Because if I don't put my mask on and I try and help a whole bunch of folks and I get theirs on, I'm going to end up being the one to die. And they're going to talk about me being such a hero, but I could have saved a whole lot more people had I put my mask on first. And that is what's missing from a lot of the things we do as men. We don't go to the doctor when we know we need to. We don't call him when we know we need to. We don't do a lot of those things. But I want to say to the men who are listening right now, don't be ashamed nor afraid to go and say, I don't know, and to ask somebody to help you know what you don't know. You remember, because in that, I wrote down this, when you think about this, to answer to those choices that you was talking about, Deuteronomy 30:19 gives us a clear picture and a path. Once again, he says, this day, not yesterday, but this day, I place before you a cloud of witnesses, blessings and curses, life and death. Now choose life. So you and who, what? Your children may live. In other words, wow. He's saying that your generation will live if you choose life, because I've given you the answers to the things that you may ask or may not ask, but here are the answers anyway. Yeah. Choose life.
That's it. Well, I like what you said, man. I want to go back to another quote by Michelangelo. He said, every block of stone has a statue inside. It's the task of the sculptor to discover it. He said, I saw an angel in the marble and carved it until I set him free.
That's good.
It's in there.
It's there. Oh, it's
we
there.
Got, like you said, Brother Ron, we gotta find it.
It's there.
There. And that's our soundness, is finding that. Tune in to you. Ain't nothing right. It ain't selfish.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to talk to yourself. Don't let nobody tell you that you're crazy because you tell yourself that you are great. You tell yourself you're amazing. You deny when someone tells you you're stupid. You deny when someone tells you that you're ugly. You reject that. Because remember, we just got through saying it ain't what someone calls you, it's what you answer to. If they call you stupid and you get ready to fight them, apparently you must think you're stupid. They ain't talking to me. And who's that said stupid do what stupid does, stupid is what stupid was. So you don't have to do and react to some of those things when someone says something to you that you don't agree with. And I'll tell you, that lines up to what I talked about a second ago, about 10 suggestions for getting along better with people. And number one, the very first one, it says, guard your tongue, say less than you think. Listen intently. Guard your tongue. Say less than you think, but listen intently. Here, number two, it says, make promises sparingly, but keep them faithfully. Number three said, never let an opportunity pass to say a kind word. Just a kind word can make somebody's life be different for the rest of their life because they got it from you. Number three, be interested in others, their pursuit, their work, and their families. Five said, be careful. Don't dwell on minor aches and small disappointments. Keep an open mind. Discuss, but don't argue. Disagree without being disagreeable. We've heard that before. Yeah. Number seven says, don't gossip. they said men don't gossip. I beg to differ. But here's what it says. It's destructive.
Yes.
It's destructive. Be careful of others' feeling. Care about what people think. But here's the thing that sums that up. This is what I know when I look at the two people who I'm on here with, you, Doc, and Dr. Joe, is this. Pay no attention to ill-natured remarks about you. Live so that no one will believe them. So nobody can't tell me nothing about Doc. They're going to talk about us regardless, because haters been put here to do what they do. Hey, that's what they do. And then don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about getting credit. Just do your best and be patient. And here's another one right here. Most people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. So, and then these are the two that I added. It says, don't just read this. Do it. And encourage others. Just do it. Jesus said, just do it. Encourage others. I truly believe that if men would just step right on up and know that they are more than a conqueror, that they are more than what somebody has said to them, because most of us are hurt and we've been hurt for a very long time. And what does hurt people do? Hurt people.
Hurt
and
others.
The hurt person got to heal. Let's help the hurt people heal. And I'm telling you right now, I was once the very hurt person. Now, am I all the way healed? But I'm in the healing process. And I also try and help those who need healing along the way. So let's get it.
Let's get it.
You guys have done amazing things today. And just beautiful. And I know we're at the top of the hour. And these things cannot even be changed or edited. They're just great. All of them said. But I want to just touch on a couple of them and pull together. I really love the Gucci. Just get Gucci with it. But said about the necessary distractions, because we see that all the time. Things you can do, things you can change, things you can control. Those are things that we need to focus on as men and women and just life in general. We got to find those patterns, and we got to find those favorite patterns. When you were talking about those two things, it made me think of Shaquille O'Neal. Mm. I was reading a biography on him and heard a talk about how where he come from to where he's at now. While he was also in the NBA, they only thought of him as this big man. In other words, he was accepting, like Ron said, of what people called him instead of what he really was. Mm. And so Shaquille said when he became passionate about the things he loved, that's when he became himself. He started wanting to make a difference, you know, and not just be a big man who throw the ball and that's all he's known for with great awards, but he wanted to help people. First, he wanted to help himself. Then he wanted to help people. So he started investing, guys, in things that he was passionate about, things that he loved to do, and it made him a better person. Mm. And today, he's almost now almost a billionaire because of investing in the things that he know God was guiding him to be and his values lined up with. Which I thought was pretty incredible. And he just came to the realization of this just like 5 years ago. And then he's investing differently. He said, I invest in the things that I love so that I can help the people that are around me. And they will never call me a big man just to be calling me a big man. They will call me a big man with a plan and a goal to change my world. And to live out my purpose. He said that. That was so, his God-given purpose. That was so powerful to me. You guys have encompassed all that with visions and goals and, you know, knowing yourself and understanding who you are, because that's when you become great. Mm-hmm. Not so much as big for other people, but just great in your own mind, in your own self-relationship. Because you can't do nothing. I was always taught that, you know, unless you help yourself, you can't help nobody. I was always taught. And if you try to help somebody when you're not helping yourself, you're half helping them. Mm-hmm. And I hear that in your talk and how we need to get a hold of our circumstances, you know, and understanding there's two things in life. You know, the choices we make and then the circumstances we are born with. It is up to us. But most of all, the greatest example, Shaq is a great example, but Jesus himself is a great example. That's when he was on earth, he constantly told them he asked the question, who do you say I am? Mm. And when he said, who do you say I am? They would answer. But what would he tell them? He would always tell them, I'm the Son of God. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're, I'm the Messiah. He constantly declared who he was, and that's how he got his goal done. Whether it was death, burial, or resurrection, he had a three-point life. Mm. The only way he got that done was recognizing who he is and what God had given him inside. Oh. And that way, that's the greatest example of all. He knew his goals. He knew who he was. But in looking at 2 Timothy 1:7, we got everything we need. God has given everything. Men, God has given no matter what. No matter what you fear today, no matter what you need to overcome today, you've been given everything you need. Because the word of God says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And that's what we're talking about all day. A sound mind. It's already there. It's already in us.
Come on.
And when you have that power, and when you have that love for yourself, if you have a sound mind God has already put there, you can do anything.
Anything.
You can
hallelujah.
Himself. He loved himself first before he tapped into what he was really supposed to do.
Come on.
That's how I sum it up, my guys. You guys have been hitting on fabulous points.
Oh, wow. Hey.
What's up, Joe? Can I leave them with five ways to
stir y'all up a little bit more?
can I leave them with five things I want them to think about and how to remain sound?
Let's go. Let's get it.
Both of you can leave something. So
okay. Five ways to stay sound. Be in your flow. What does that mean? You're in proper alignment. There's a proper alignment between your skills and your non-skills and your difficulties. Alignment between your skills and your difficulties and your flow. How do you remain sound? Be in your fit. It's where your strengths are in direct proportion to the task. You ain't doing something that you can't do. That's your fit. Your goals. Meaningful goals, put meaningful goals down. It's like you're working progress toward them. No need in having a goal without working on them. Oh, you window shopping, you ain't buying. Get your flow, get your fit, hit your goals, and then you got to have a good community. You got to have good quality and quantity relationships. That's important. And lastly, it's what Sister Joe and Ron have been talking about. When you're in your proper soundness, when you're in your flow, when you're in alignment with your skills, your difficulty, it's your fit, when your strengths match your task, when you got meaningful goals that you've taken, you're making progress toward them, you're actually doing something about them, you got a sense of community, you mean you got good quality and quantity relationships around you. Now you take all of that and you go out and you serve other people.
Wow.
Facing the need of other people. Ain't no need in keeping all that in and being sound unless you're giving it out.
And to sum it all that up, the word said, all you're getting, get an understanding.
Yeah.
All you're getting, get an understanding. Thank you for that word. I just want to say that you guys, you haven't seen nothing yet. The word says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for him. I am saying that because you just got to get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready for the next chapter that he's going to deploy into your life, because you're going to love on you some new so you can love on them even more. So I just ask anybody that's listening to us right now, just hug yourself. And just hug yourself. Make sure you just let yourself know you're all right. It's going to be all right. You're good. You're Gucci. Just know you're Gucci. It's okay. And in the end, at the end of the day, you are a man of God. You walk by faith, not by sight. Everything's going to be all right. I will leave y'all with that. My mama said that to me as a five-year-old who was at a gas station, jumped out the car, run into the bathroom. My mama said, hey, don't go in that one right there. And I went in the other bathroom. It was nasty and all of that stuff. And then I come back to the car and I asked her, mama, why couldn't I go in that bathroom? She said, baby, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. The reason I couldn't go in that bathroom because of the color of my skin, it was because I was a little black boy and it said colored in one and white in the other. And fast forward, I can go in any bathroom right now, y'all. Think about that. Yeah. It's all right. She said it's going to be all right. That's all she said. She didn't denigrate anybody. She didn't beat nobody up. She said, baby, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, don't worry about it. Going to be all right. Just keep on living and watch God do his thing. But you got to hold on, though. It's a roller coaster. There ain't no merry-go-round. You might go around, but it's going to go up and it's going to go down. You just got to hold on and watch God do his thing. You got to continue to love on you, some of you.
Yes. And sisters, speaking from the sister side, love and support your brothers nonstop, no matter what. Pray for them. And remember, love yourself. If you love yourself, you can heal your life. You've been listening to BHM 365 Real Relationships with Dr. Tia, people psychologist, and the very and one and only Spider-Man Johnson. Ron, thank you so much for listening today. We will see you next time. This is our episode 3. I'm excited because we have 2 more left, and they are going to be powerful. We will see you next time.